this sermon is really going to be a prequel. Who loves a good prequel? But right? Yeah, we like a good prequel. We hear the story, we're all excited about the story, and then the prequel comes out, and you get to learn the origins of something. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what we did last week, but add on to it with the prequel. Pastor Jamie challenged us to no excuses and to work on living an excuse-free life by looking inward and discovering what may hold us back from following Jesus fully. Everybody's perfect on that now. The last 7 days, we're work in progress. I heard a yeah, right, and a work in progress and a bunch of grumbles. Sounds about right. It's a journey, right? A couple examples from Luke 9, 57 through 62 were uncomfortableness, not prioritizing God, and being influenced by others and not God. Jesus was pretty direct speaking to each of these people's hearts. It may seem difficult sometimes, and it may seem harsh how God may speak sometimes right to the heart, right? He gets right to that point. Anybody have God just quietly and calmly tell you something, and you just go, ugh, that hit deep. That hit deep. And sometimes that's hard to hear. But it is for us. It's not against us. When God is asking us to look inward and discover where we can grow. It is for us. When Jesus spoke to these folks in Luke, Jesus spoke from experience. So we should probably read the scriptures on to see where this experience comes from. If you want to join me in Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Because I don't know, sometimes it seems harsh when we read things that Jesus said. It seems harsh. And it's like, well, you don't know. But Jesus did know. And that's what we're going to find out about today. So, to the scriptures. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to baptize you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. In Luke, and I want to point out, this is also in Luke, how it ends is the devil left him in waiting for an opportune time. So just keep that in your head too. The angels came and tended to Jesus, and in another version, the devil's still waiting for an opportune time to come after Jesus. So 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. Talk about hangry. Talk about hangry, being physically and mentally uncomfortable. We chatted about this just coincidentally on Bible study on Wednesday night. We got onto it, and Pastor Joyce called being hungry, a creature comfort. And that really stuck with me. I don't know why. Just putting it in a way of creature comfort, it stuck with me the last couple days. And I kept thinking, am I able, am I willing to be uncomfortable with my creature comforts? Are you willing and able to rise above creature comforts and to serve God and grow spiritually, even when your tummy is grumbling? And that's kind of hard to do. I'm going to go off of my notes here. But there are times where Pastor Jamie and I will leave the church, and we got to stay here a little bit too longer. We're both hangry individuals. When we get hungry, and we have to be silent in the car. You ever have those moments with a person, like you're just not connecting, like you start to talk, and just you're not talking the same language, it seems almost like, and we'll just be like, you know what, we just need to stop. And then you know what the next decision is? We're eating Mexican food because you get chips right away. Usually we end up right here at Carmelita's. If we hit this driveway and we've got hangry going on, everything stops. It's Carmelita's. We get the chips on the table. It's about 5 chips in each, and then we'll start talking again. But it is silence up until that point. 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, and Jesus is going to take on the devil, not just a conversation with his spouse. We've got to be ready, church. Through our weaknesses, God makes us strong. Jesus did many miracles in his life. He could have turned stone to bread in a heartbeat. But there was something bigger going on than the grumble in his stomach. There was something bigger going on than his mental exhaustion. Jesus was getting prepared to face whatever was going to come during his ministry on earth in human flesh, facing creature comforts and creature uncomforts. After this, the devil tried to influence Jesus to test God, potentially putting doubt in Jesus' head that God would be faithful, that God would take care of him, that God wasn't going to leave him. Jesus stood firm knowing that God is always there and that there is no need to test God and test God's faithfulness. Jesus is preparing to be tempted, to be influenced by others. He's got the disciples in his ears. They're always asking questions and not understanding. Judas at one point was like, why are we taking all this money and not giving it to the poor? Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all over Jesus all the time. The Roman representatives. And the massive amount of people he will interact with in his ministry. Many, many voices. Jesus will need to stand firm on God's promise and trust God will not leave him or forsaken him. Third temptation. Satan is really reaching here. But man, in the right moment, at the right time, if unprepared, this could work. Jesus is offered something Satan cannot really give him, the kingdoms of the world. But it sounds great. Sometimes things sound really great. But there's a catch. There's a catch. You got to worship Satan in this instance of turning from God. Jesus will face moments where something seems so great compared to the moment or circumstance that Jesus is in. But keeping focus on God, prioritizing on God, not to be willing to turn from God to gain something that's not really yours anyway, or is not something somebody can give you that's sustaining. It's not sustainable. It's never worth the consequence of worshiping something else other than God. And in particular, to gain something that doesn't really mean anything. See how Jesus spoke from experience to these three individuals in Luke? You got the guy running from being uncomfortable, misprioritizing God, being influenced by others. Jesus is speaking from experience. You see the prequel here? Jesus was harsh and direct because Jesus has been there. Jesus has walked in your shoes. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus sacrificed being comfortable. Jesus worked to be influenced by God and God alone. Jesus prioritized God above all, but even Jesus had to get prepared to do so. Because this took place in between being baptized. Remember, we talked about him showing up at John, getting baptized, and before his ministry officially started. He hasn't even called a single disciple. He's turned no water into wine yet. He's getting prepared. He's getting ready. Matthew 3:30-17. Remember this. Jesus came. John tried to deter him. And Jesus is like, no, let it be now. It is proper for us to do to fulfill the righteousness. And this is awesome. Jesus was baptized. He went up out of the water. At that moment, the heaven opened and he saw the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. I want to point that out. He gets the Holy Spirit. And then he gets affirmation from God. I love you and I am pleased with you. Man, Jesus was equipped. Jesus was equipped with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was equipped with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was equipped with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes into temptation. He goes into the 40 days and the 40 nights of like basic training, if you will, for his ministry. Church, you are more than equipped than you probably understand to face this life and serve God. Jesus Christ lives within you. The Holy Spirit has descended upon you. And God is in your corner, loving you and supporting you. Because you are a dearly loved child who brings great joy to God. So if you lost a bit of hope or need a bit of encouragement or reinforcement to look inward, discover what may be holding you back so you can thrive in living a no-excuse life to follow God. Here it is. Jesus was sent to walk this earth in human flesh, to experiencing living in our shoes, and to show us the way. One of the coolest ways I think Jesus is ever referred to is the way. The way, the truth, the life. Jesus had firsthand experience in life, in following God, in dealing with trials, in dealing with joys. Because it's not just the trials that throw us off, is it? Sometimes you're at the top of your game. You got all the joy. You're like, oh, thanks, God. And then you're like looking at something else. Temptation. The devil waits for the opportune time to attack. Because when we are weak, vulnerable, distracted, not ready, that's when temptations have the highest chance of being effective. So we must continue to learn and grow from our life experiences in applying the examples of Jesus. So we can be ready in any circumstance, in trials, in joy, in happiness, in sorrow. On a humdrum day, that we could be ready. Even hangry, you got to be ready to say, away from me, Satan. Did you know you have the power to do that? You know how you have the power to do that. You have the power to tell Satan to get behind me, go away, just as Jesus did. You have the power to do that. You have more power, church. You have more power than what you think you do. You have more authority. You have more gumption. We can all rise above things bigger than what we think that we can. Because we have Jesus. And God loves us so much that he decided to send his one and only son so that he can walk in our shoes. Know what sorrow and grief feels like. Know what joy and exhilaration feels like. Know, church, know in the depth of your souls that God loves you and will never leave you or forsake you, and that you are God's child whom God loves and is pleased. Bandit's a short one. You might want to make your way up. You are, I forgot to tell him the key point. You are God's child whom God loves and is God's pleased. I think we forget that. Sometimes maybe we don't forget that God loves us, but do you forget that God is pleased with you? God knit you. God made you. Maybe we should say it together. God loves me and is pleased with me. God loves me and is pleased with me. God loves me and is pleased with me. We probably need to do that 3 more times. God loves me and is pleased with me. God loves me and is pleased with me. God loves me and is pleased with me. Adult learning, it says you need to learn things 3 times. You get repetitive. So we did it 6, so it's double. So now we can face temptation. We can be comfortable with being uncomfortable. We can reprioritize. And you can reprioritize. There's nothing that says I can only reprioritize once in a day. Every moment that you get misprioritized, you can reprioritize. That's the other thing, right? We've talked about this before. God is a God of many chances. So the moment you feel yourself unprioritized, just reprioritize. The moment you're not focusing on God and you realize it, focus on God. Instead of, don't follow me as an example, I tend to get in my head. Oh, I didn't follow God that time. Don't do that. Follow Jesus' example. Just reprioritize. Refocus. Be okay with a little rumble in your tummy. Or whatever your creature comfort that might be getting in your way. You are a child whom God loves and is pleased. Jesus knows where you are. God knows where you are. And church, you'll get through whatever you're getting through. And you'll continue to grow and you'll continue to learn. But we've got to keep growing that spiritual enrichment and growth so you can face things. And it doesn't mean, like, the closer you get to God doesn't mean that you're going to not have trials. This is the reality. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have distractions. You're going to be influenced. That's going to be life. I'm going to tell you that right now. Nothing gets easier. But your frame of mind gets better when you focus on God and allow God to do more instead of you pushing through the water, going nowhere. Allow God more in your life. Stop struggling so much. Because God loves you and he is pleased with you.